So how do you use genetics to track the spread of a disease like COVID-19?
DNA fingerprinting has really evolved from the early 1990s into a very sophisticated tool where we can identify people, plants, animals, and even viruses to their relatives. So when we generate the whole genome sequence of multiple isolates of the COVID-2 virus, we can look at that genomic sequence and we can reconstruct its family history. If you can understand the ancestors of a virus, in this case, the coronavirus, well, then we can use that to help track the disease as it moves across the landscape and moves across time.
You can actually see how the disease is moving through a landscape just by looking at its genetics?
You know, what you can do is you can look for common features in animals and plants and say that those common features then are indicative of a common ancestry. Now, the virus, what we do is we have a much more robust and comprehensive approach to identifying these shared features. And that's the nucleotide sequence. And so in this particular case, what we're able to do is we're able to track the coronavirus around the world, and we can trace it right back to its origins in Wuhan. We can do this in such a kind of robust fashion, we can actually put a timestamp or a real clock number on when these events occurred. This is what we call a molecular clock. It doesn't work all the time for all organisms in all situations, but it seems to be working pretty well for the coronavirus.
What have you found out so far?
One of the most interesting events in this whole thing is when did this thing start? And so it looks like from the molecular clock that the origin of this virus is somewhere around the first part, maybe the last part of November. There's a little bit of error in the estimate, but not much. Likewise, we can look at it on a more regional basis. So for example, very early on in late January, we had one case of COVID-19 in Maricopa County. Turned out this was a person who traveled from China. And sure enough, the genome sequence of the isolate from that person traces very, very clearly back to China. But most of the cases we're seeing in Arizona actually trafficked through Europe. It really looks like New York in particular got slammed by viruses that came in from Europe. And from there, they started spreading across the United States. What we're able to see is they really started arriving in Arizona in mid to late February.
How specific can you get with the geography? Like if you take a sample from a patient, can you see that they got the virus from someone in California versus someone next door?
We can't at this point. To do it on a scale where we could actually start to contribute to like contact tracing, we've got to start sequencing a lot more virus. And we're going to do that. And so we're playing with the laboratory methods to improve the laboratory methods so that we can start sequencing thousands of isolates. And then we also have to handle the data because this is a massive amount of data. It's like drinking out of a fire hose, you know. You need something to regulate that flow and help you to create a flow of information that is interpretable and usable for public health.
Paul Keim, great to talk to you as always.
Thanks, Melissa.